devil made me do it.
Fucking bastard.
In conclusion, really good movie.
I loved it. 5 out of 5. Fucking great.
Welcome to Fright and Fallacies, Season 2, Episode 8, the conclusion of the Conjuring universe. Thank God.
For the love of God, we're done. And I'll tell you what, we know there's new movies coming out, but I'm not watching them.
Nope.
Take your Crooked Man, take your Nun sequel, get fucked. I'm done. This is it. I'm never touching a Conjuring. I can't even go back and re-watch these movies.
Any of them, even the ones no. I liked.
Nope, even though the very few I liked, I will never watch again. I'm done.
I agree. I don't know. I feel bad because I'm sure some of you listeners really like some of the these Conjuring movies. But, dude, honestly, it got worse. Like, we're on this last movie, and it's worse. It's not good.
No, it's terrible.
It wasn't really scary. The storyline wasn't good. Oh, there's so many things.
I wasn't really hoping for anything. I actually had extremely low expectations. And the fact that they did not even exceed those very, very low expectations, it's embarrassing. Good Lord.
Really, really, really bad. Bad.
Absolutely terrible. Don't recommend. 0 out of 10.
But yeah, so let's get into it.
Let's go.
Okay,
the devil made me do it.
The final movie so far. Who cares about whatever comes after this?
Yeah, absolutely nobody gives a shit. Oh, watch, God. There's gonna be those few people who are like, no, we give a shit. Like, no.
We're going to get a bunch of, like, 1-star reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. Oh, whatever. I don't care.
Oh, my gosh. So, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. This is the third Conjuring in the universe. And it is the 8th movie.
So God, we right watched now, 8 movies.
Nothing else has been made. So, this is the end of the universe. There's talk of other things, but we don't care. So,
no, absolutely not. They don't exist to me.
So this movie was directed by Michael Chavez. It was released in 2021. It has a 6.3 out of 10 on IMDb, a 55% on Rotten Tomatoes. A 53% on Metacritic. And you know what? Those Google users.
They fucking come through, man.
They always come through. An 89% of likes via Google users.
I really gotta give it to these Google users. Because, I'm sorry. How many of them are actually putting thumbs up on this? I just...
They are far too kind.
If I were going to rate this... Okay, if I were doing like a 1 out of 10. If I were going to rate any movie a 5 and below, I would give it a thumbs down.
Right.
I don't know how
these... This movie, I don't even think I would rate it a 2.
I rated it a 2 out of 5 on Letterboxd. And the only reason I was going to give it a 1, and the only reason I gave it a 2... was just for the sole fact that they had real contortionists. And it was pretty interesting.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. You're right. I just...
You know, but what, no, it's guys, terrible. It's definitely like, it's a half a star film. It's not as good.
As the universe has gone, it's just like, they could have done so much more with the story. But we're so focused on stupid Ed and Lorraine.
And their love story.
So much screen time that we don't actually get the meat of the story that we are looking for. That's the
thing. This one was definitely, it was boring. Yeah. It didn't even keep my attention for a hate watch perspective. Like, right. Through the rest of the Conjuring universes, I was getting so mad while watching them, but at least my hatred for them was keeping me entertained and watching them. This one, it took a lot for me to sit and focus on it. Yeah. Because there was just too much Ed and Lorraine love story, and there was a lot happening at once here and there. And I really don't know where they were fucking going with it half the time.
Well, and just like, literally, just like any of the other movies in this universe, the very end is when, like, everything happens. And so, like, half of the movie is so slow and confusing and mm-hmm. just kind of stupid. Like, it's just, I don't know. I didn't like it. I can tell you.
No, I didn't like it either. I just did not like this. Now that we've gone through all of them, I really gotta sit and think and rate accordingly, because I don't even know what to fucking rate all these films. Definitely none of them are even remotely a fucking 3.5 out of 5. Most of them are thumbs downs for me. The thing is, I enjoyed the first two we watched. The very first Annabelle, and I liked The Nun. Yeah. But it was the moment they started fucking up those stories as we went along.
Yep.
That makes me hate those movies now.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, let's dive in here.
Bastards.
Ugh. Okay. So, the movie starts... it's very... Okay. There's, like, so many things.
A lot movie, happens.
Yeah. There's literally... I just... My God. So the movie starts with an exorcism, okay? It's an exorcism of an 8-year-old kid named David. They are there with his family, David's sister, Debbie, her boyfriend is there. His name is Arnie. Otherwise, it's like his parents, and that's about it. During the exorcism, like, it's fucking batshit crazy. It's literally just ridiculous. They're, like, holding this kid down. He's, like, going fucking ham. Like Squiz said, none of its special effects. They have actual, like, contortionists.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, like, bending backwards and doing all these weird, like, body movements. I'll give it to them. It's intense. But in that intensity comes, like, so much, like, confusion.
And so much happens. I'm like, what the fuck? Right.
And, like, the picture just doesn't end up being very clear. But
no.
So from a general perspective, they're performing this exorcism. And, of course, the fucking priest gets, like, knocked out because he's a dumbass. And, you know, Ed, who is just so versed in exorcisms, right?
Of course. You know, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's ordained in his head. He can do these things.
So Ed ends up, like, trying to do the exorcism because the father gets knocked out by a flying plate. And it ends up going, like, Ed gets, like, thrown somewhere. Lorraine is who fucking knows where. Literally, we don't know. I mean, she's, like, in the room, but there's no attention being paid to her. And so you don't really know what she's seen, what she's experiencing. But essentially, Arnie, the boyfriend, picks up David, the kid, and he starts kind of, like, yelling at the demon, like, take me instead, you know, get out of him, take me instead. And so, of course... as the demon should.
Yeah.
It apparently goes into Arnie. And, like, I'm just saying, this is an important fact. People witness this happening. I'm sorry. Ed, for sure. for sure.
Oh, definitely saw.
Sees it. Even though, like, he's, like, experiencing something. I don't know if it's, like, a heart attack or, like, an asthma attack. I don't know. But Ed is, like, having a hard time. But he watches this happen. And I'm pretty sure Arnie's girlfriend, Debbie, also sees this happen. I'm also pretty sure. It's never clear. But I'm pretty sure that from the other room, Lorraine sees this happen. But nobody, not one of them, recognizes that Arnie is now possessed. Because as soon as he does this, everything stops.
Yeah.
Everything stops. David is fine. And so, like, it's just crazy to me that nobody, not one of them, was like, something's wrong.
Yeah, and I don't...
Oh, it's over.
I don't even understand how none of them fucking heard it. Because Arnie, like, says, take me instead. How did nobody hear that? Bullshit. Right. I understand Ed's on the floor having, like, a fucking minor infarction, but you're telling me nobody else heard that? It's just a little eerie that it all came to a halt.
Right.
And then nobody gives a shit.
And, yeah, it's like everything stops and everyone's like, okay, it's over. And it's like, no, I mean, we all just heard Arnie screaming, like, literally screaming. Okay, whatever. So, apparently it's a month later, and Ed is in the hospital. He's apparently been in the hospital for a month for, I don't know, a heart attack, I guess.
Something like that. I think it was a heart attack because I think he had to stay and get, like, heart stents or some shit in the hospital.
Something.
You're like, I don't know. I don't care.
Something's wrong with Ed. He's in the hospital.
He's a dumbass. Who cares?
And so he... I don't know. It seems like he knows that something's wrong with Arnie, but he also doesn't really say it. I don't know. It's weird. Anyways, so he just says, I'm pretty sure he says, like, something's wrong. I don't remember him saying anything was wrong with Arnie specifically. But I think
yeah, I don't really remember.
I think he says, like, something's wrong. And so Lorraine calls the police and she's like, I know this sounds weird, but there's something that's going to happen at this address. And Arnie and Debbie, his girlfriend, live at this kennel. So it's like a, I don't know if it's, I think it's like a dog, like, rescue center.
Yeah, something like that. I couldn't really tell what it was or what they were going for. I didn't know what the hell really it was.
I don't know if it's like a boarding house or if it's like a rescue center. But so they have dogs there and they live there with this guy who's kind of an ass, but he's their friend, I guess. I think the idea is that, like, they're kind of like trying to save up to, like, move away. Because, like, when we see Arnie and Debbie, he's like, convincing her, like, you know, we need to just go away and, like, we could do it, you know. And it's kind of like you can tell that she's seeing, like, this isn't really like Arnie to say,
right,
because of the situation that we're in. So I don't know, it just seems kind of weird. But, you know, all in all, Arnie ends up murdering the guy that lives there. His name is Bruno. He stabs him 22 times. And it's pretty crazy. Bruno seems like a dick, and I'm gonna be honest, he was being a dick. Like, he was, like, drunk, yep, and, like, grabbing Debbie and, like, grabbing Arnie. Like, he was acting super weird. It was, like, the middle of the day.
Yeah, he was just fucking, he's one of those drunks that's just belligerent. Like, come on, dude. Nobody gives a shit. Just, and literally Arnie was telling him, I don't want to drink, we're done, this is over with, and he's just pushing it and pushing it.
And so, like, you know, Arnie, and it kind of, like, seems like you're not really clear that he's, I mean, you know, as the watcher, like, you know that he's possessed, but at the same time, it's just kind of like a, like, everything's just kind of happening. Like, it's just, the way that they present it is kind of weird, because it's not like Arnie is, like, under demonic possession, it's like Arnie's confused. Like, at least that's how I felt. It's kind of
he's just a little confused.
Yeah, I felt like Arnie was just, like, dizzy. Mm-hmm. But whatever. So, anyways, he obviously gets arrested. He's, like, walking down the street with blood all over his shirt. And I was telling Squiss, I was like, did he kill everybody in the house? But no, he just killed the landlord. But it doesn't really make sense because, like, Debbie wasn't with him. He's, like, walking down the street by himself with blood all over him. And then he just gets, like, picked up by a cop.
Yeah, it's really weird because his eyes are rolled back as he's walking and then they just roll forward. And he's like, oh, shit, what the fuck?
It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I also want to point out that at the beginning of this movie, this says that this is, like, one of the most terrifying cases that the Warrens have ever witnessed. And it's like, well, wasn't Annabelle, was it the nun? Like, literally,
I think that message is in
front of, like, most of the movies in this universe.
So, which one is it?
And I'm gonna be honest, this one's not that scary. So, like, if this is the fucking scariest thing you have been, like, in contact with, I don't know. That's fucking stupid. Because this one's mostly, like, a court case. Anyways.
That's all it is. It's like a court case. It's like there's this, all this shit that happens, and it's mostly a fucking court case, and then we're just following Ed and Lorraine most of the time.
Right.
I don't know. It's the dumbest fuck. This was the dumbest movie. Yeah. It wasn't even a good Exorcist movie. It wasn't a good haunting movie. I mean, granted, all of these movies have been bad, but this one was just dull. But it was boring. Nothing
they did was really that interesting.
Yeah, it was not great.
So, essentially, they start going into trial, and Ed and Lorraine, like, fight for it to be, like, a case of, like, he was possessed, right? So that is his, like, defense. And I honestly, guys, like, I really want to follow the storyline here and be, like, more specific. But, like, this movie, really nothing really happens in it. So I'm just going to go through it here because there's really nothing much that happens.
So, yeah, we can just skip through. It's a whole lot of nothing.
It's really. And so, like, they convince the lawyer to fight for, you know, not guilty and because he was demonically possessed or whatever the fuck. They find out that he was actually cursed, and it was actually David that was cursed, and because he said what he said, he got the curse passed on to him. But it's this curse that came from a witch, of course. And, they find out because they find some, like, weird bones, this, like, witch's totem under...
Oh, the fucking witch shit. Oh, God. I don't know how I blacked this whole shit out. I forgot about the whole witch story.
Oh,
gosh. So, oh, my God.
They find this, like, witch's totem under the kid's house, David's house. And then they realize that this is the work of a witch. And she's trying to complete a spell where three different sets of people commit a murder and then a suicide.
Yep.
So, from this point on... Arnie's trying to kill himself. Okay, from this point on, essentially. So, like, Debbie calls the prison, and she's like, you know, he needs to be on suicide watch because, you know, now that he committed a murder, he's gonna kill himself. And this essentially starts, like, affecting everybody else. So they find, like, Ed and Lorraine find a totem in their house, and one of them, I think it's Ed, starts to get, like, violent, and they realize that now he's cursed, or maybe it's Lorraine, I don't remember. One of them gets violent and they realize that they're cursed, so then they have to figure out, like, what the curse is. They get, like, attacked by some dead people because they go to the morgue and, like, look at the people who have been killed and try to find, like, clues or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh.
It's just so damn stupid.
And they find this all out because they end up going to the police office and they get this file of these two girls who were, like, best friends but also lovers, I think. And they went to the forest and one of them killed the other and then jumped off a cliff to kill herself. And so that was like the first ritual, right? And so then Arnie's the second, and then you're led to believe that Ed and Lorraine are supposed to be the third, and that's going to complete this ritual for this witch, even though Arnie hasn't killed himself yet. So there's like a weird plot hole that we just haven't addressed, because that ritual hasn't even finished, but yet we're starting on Ed and Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever.
It's fucking ridiculous.
So,
because we just need to see their love and their story.
Right. Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, throughout this, that's why Squiz keeps saying that. Throughout this, like, Ed is so concerned about Lorraine because she, like, goes and has a vision about the two girls, like, the girl killing the other girl and then jumping off the cliff. And that's how they find out that the girl killed herself. And Ed's so concerned about her. And then Lorraine's so concerned about Ed because he had a heart attack and he's so fragile now. And, like, the whole movie, this is happening. After, like, every big event, each of them is concerned about the other person. And it's, like, it takes a lot of time of this movie for it's him like,
we
to can, be concerned.
We can deal without that. Just stop your shit. We get it. You guys love each other. Come on.
And then, like I said, Ed tries to kill Lorraine in some kind of, like, unconscious state. And Drew, their camera guy, ends up stopping him. And then they find the totem in their house, so they realize that this is all, like, a thing. And then, so they all kind of, like, separate. So Drew and Ed are researching something, and Lorraine goes to this guy's house. I think he's, like, a retired priest. And she goes to his house so he can, like, translate something for her. And while she's there, Ed and Drew realize that he, like, has something to do with all of this. And we find out that he had a daughter named, I think her name's Isla. And
Think he's shady.
Right, yeah. So you think it's him at first. Like, at first you're like, oh my god, he's gonna kill Lorraine, right? But then she finally, like, she's starting to put, like, two and two together. And she ends up questioning him about it. And he kind of confesses that he had a daughter. And he had her outside of, like, he was supposed to be celibate for the church. And so that's why he ended up leaving the church. And that he started being fascinated with the occult. And because he was fascinated with the occult, she became, like, obsessed with it. And that led her to be a witch.
Of course.
Which, you know, that's how it happens, right?
Now, it would have been better because this guy is the steward of Gondor, so they should have just made him the evil villain.
Right. Oh my god. And, I mean, because we all know that education just makes people evil. So as soon as you become educated about a topic, you have to just become evil.
Reading some books, you know, figuring out things for yourself, having your own thoughts.
Right, you just read about the occult and you just become an evil witch who sells her soul to the devil.
Those bastards.
So she ends up showing up to his house. I don't know how, but she, like, knows Lorraine is there. And all this time, like, they know that they're looking for a witch, so they know that they're looking for this woman's altar because they think that if they destroy her altar, she can't finish the ritual and finish the curse out. So Lorraine, like, realizes all this at once. The daughter shows up. The priest hides Lorraine. He lets her into these, like, caves under his house, and Lorraine realizes that that's where the altar's going to be. Meanwhile, the priest gets murdered by his own daughter, so that's pretty fun.
Always a good time. Love that.
Always a great time. And then, like I said, Ed and Drew are, like, putting the pieces together, so now Ed is headed to the house that Lorraine's at. Meanwhile, at the prison, Arnie is just, like, levitating and being possessed. So that's pretty cool. He's trying to kill himself, and a priest and his girlfriend Debbie are trying to stop him. So that's nice. It's really dramatic. Like I said, he's levitating off the ground with a piece of glass, trying to cut his own wrists.
It's ridiculous.
He got the piece of glass because all of the windows exploded in the room that he's in the prison.
Uh-huh. And there's, like, this whole scene, too, with this fat, dead ghost, too. I don't understand that. But that was fucking busting me up. I was like, why? Right. Why is this happening?
It, like, runs at Ed. And then he comes back. I don't remember if it's at their house or something.
He comes back, like, it's like, okay, I understand. Maybe you're possessing this fat, dead ghost because they're in the morgue. But now it's coming back when they're somewhere else, completely different.
It just followed Ed.
Like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God. So, in conclusion, I mean, as we all assumed, the witch follows Lorraine into the caves. She, like, bewitches fucking Ed into, like, chasing Lorraine around for a while. And then somehow, because he loves... Sorry, my dog's barking. Somehow, because he loves Lorraine so much, he breaks out of the spell and he ruins the altar. And then that's essentially the end of the movie. Of course, it goes to, you know, Ed putting an artifact into the artifact room, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, the whole... They pretty much go through the trial. You know, they say, like, oh, you know...
Oh, yeah.
You just... Go through it. Basically, they end it with the trial, too. And lo and behold, the jury did not buy it. He was not fucking possessed.
Yeah, no. They'd
Who would have fucking thought he's not fucking but possessed?
But they only find him guilty of manslaughter instead of, like, first-degree murder. So fucking stupid. It's, like, 5 years or something.
But congratulations. You've won.
Oh, man.
You won the court. Devil made me do it. Fucking bastard. In conclusion,
really good movie.
I loved it. 5 out of 5. Fucking great.
It really wasn't that good, but it is what it is.
I'm gonna give it a fave. No, not gonna lie. Gonna watch it again.
Oh my god.
Fuck no.
So yeah. So I don't know. Go ahead and watch it and tell us what you think. And we're gonna take a small break, and then we'll get into the OG story.
The true story. Of Arnie. Womp womp. Hello and welcome back to the trial of Arnie.
Poor Arnie.
Yeah, so pretty much when I was doing a little bit of research, I have some shit open and everything, there really isn't much to it, and it pretty much... This is actually the first one that I gotta say... Not the witches and all that bullshit that happened in between and Ed and Lorraine's love story, all that. But when it came to, you know, the little boy in the beginning getting possessed and then Arnie being possessed afterwards and killing his landlord or whatever, that's all exactly in the true story.
Oh.
So, I mean, I think this is the first one, because the other ones, we kind of had a hard time finding anything, and, like, the movie really embellished shit. And I think that's kind of how this movie did that, too. But the thing is this one had nothing really to embellish on the actual possession at hand. So they made up a bunch of, like, you know, the daughter of a priest and witchcraft and fat morgue ghosts. And I'm like, okay, man, I don't fucking know what's going on, but all right, sounds like a good time.
So the true story is, like...
It's almost...
Okay. Were they involved in the true story?
Yes.
Okay.
So they weren't as... And the thing is that they were involved in the beginning. So there was an 11-year-old named David Glotzel, and it was the Glotzel family. And they had, you know, allegedly had this, you know, possession of their son. And... They were basically noticing, you know, ominous occurrences. So we didn't really go into the family with David, you know, the little boy in the beginning.
Right.
Or anything much, because it was just so fast. Mm-hmm. But they pretty much were dealing with a lot of the occurrences, and they were exhausted, and they were tired. And David was basically, like, telling them that there was this old man appearing, and he was pushing him around, and he was scaring him. And they thought that David initially was making up this old ghost as an excuse to avoid, like, chores. But David told them that, no, I promised, you know, that if we, you know, move or whatever, then he's not going to hurt us and whatnot. So this boy's basically just having scary dreams of this old man appearing as a demon, and he would mutter Latin and threaten to steal his soul. So the family allegedly heard, you know, would hear strange noises coming from their attic, but no one but David would see this ghost or this demon. That's why they were like, okay, we don't know what's going on. So when he started showing strange behaviors, like he would have a lot of scratches and bruises on him that they never knew where they came from, they pretty much ended up calling a Catholic priest to attempt to bless the house. But still, nothing was working, and it was just getting worse. Like, David was just envisioning this ghost even worse. So they, in a last attempt effort, they basically summoned, you know, the self-proclaimed demonologist Ed and Lorraine to assist. So Lorraine has said that she did notice, like, black mist materialize next to David during one of their things, you know, and she could see the malevolent presence because, of course, because she's clairvoyant, she can see everything. And then as they're doing this, you know, exorcism, they're saying that they saw David being beaten, and he was choked, and he was held by hands, and red marks were appearing on his neck, and he would start to growl and speak in tongues and other voices, like different voices that they've never heard before, and start convulsing, and basically anything you can think with an exorcism happened to this kid. You know, possession and exorcism. It all went through this kid. So, of course, Ed and Lorraine says, well, he's, you know, possessed by multiple demons. That's what it is. So he was given three lesser exorcisms. I'm not quite sure what those are, but they gave him three lesser exorcisms to get rid of these multiple possessions. And Arnie was there, you know, because he was dating the sister. Uh-huh. So he was dating the sister. But nothing, he didn't, like, take on the spirit or anything. That right. didn't happen. Basically, they, you know, David was cured or whatever. Whatever the hell the fucking warrants say. He's free cured. From his possession. It's fine. He's cured. He's
multiple possessions.
He's cured. He's all better now.
I'm sorry.
It's like
I'm sorry.
He'll never see these demons again. I'm like, okay, whatever, man. Oh my god, sorry, I'm trying to go through.
Cool.
But so anyways, like, Debbie, was Debbie.
Still? Like, is that true?
What?
Because it's in the movie he's 8. Was he 8?
Oh, he was 11.
11. Did you say that already? 11. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I didn't. I don't know. But yeah, he was 11.
Dude, I no. suck. I'm sorry.
No, I might have not have said it. I don't remember, actually. That's just me. I don't know.
11 years old, multiple possessions, even though he only saw one spirit.
Yes.
And there wasn't really any proof that spirit was possessing him, besides his, like...
No, the family actually thought that he was making shit up to get out of chores. The only reason that they started getting a little bit worried about it is because he would have scratches and bruises on him. And they never saw him, you know, outwardly hurt himself. So they're like, okay, wait a minute. Why is this happening?
But... Okay. So I'm just going to voice a concern here. I just wonder, like, what, like, evidence are they using to say that this little boy was possessed rather than, like, that maybe he was being haunted? Like, you know what I mean?
Because Lorraine saw the black mist.
Sorry. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, he's obviously seeing, like, I totally believe in spirits and, you know, some of them aren't always nice. And so, like, I would believe that, you know, maybe he is being visited by a not nice spirit. I don't know what you call that. Malevolent. I don't know. But, like, you know, maybe that's what he's experiencing, but like, why does it have to go to haunted? And how are we saying now that he's multiply haunted? Like, he has several hauntings. It just, why?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's fucking weird. Because I think, like, they pretty much just automatically go to possession no matter what, because all they know is demonology.
Yeah.
Well, they don't even know that. Well, that's just kind of what they do. So, yeah, and before I, like, get totally fucking into it about the rest of the story, but, like, fun fact on this is the brother of the family, Carl Glatzel, he actually kept saying this was all a hoax and the Warrens just did it to make a quick buck, and he actually tried suing them for the book. So I have
probably, like, to me, okay, so far, I know that I interrupted, okay?
Oh, no.
But so far, it sounds like they walked in on a situation that they really didn't know that much about and was just like, yeah, he's possessed by multiple creatures.
Right. So, but that's the whole thing, because their brother basically would say that they were just making up a hoax and trying to make a quick buck off of their story, and that David actually suffered from a lot of mental illness as a child.
Oh.
So he was actually not all there, basically. So, okay.
Okay. The way that I just said, oh, made it sound like I was like, ooh, that's good. It's not good, okay? Mental illness is not, like, a good thing.
No, but it's just one of those things, because most people just automatically go, that's possession. That's why a lot of people were fucking killed back in the day, too. They would have, like, fucking epilepsy, and people were like, oh, they're possessed. May as well just fucking kill them.
What was that movie we watched? The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Emily Rose?
A lot of people believe that that was, like, epilepsy.
And when you read about it, it more than likely was.
It probably was, yeah.
Like, not gonna fucking lie about that. Oh, but there's also crazy. A lot of weird seizure disorders that are, like, traumatic seizures. And traumatic seizures do weird fucking things. Because it's not like your typical seizure, but it's like you're basically forgetting who you are and becoming a different person. And you're like, yeah, it's weird. The brain has interesting responses to stress and trauma.
That's crazy.
And most people just used to run with it in the past and go, oh, well, you might be possessed by a demon. I don't know, man. It's like, no. Maybe not. I don't know. That's kind of stupid.
Oh, my God.
So it was just interesting to read that little bit about it, because I was like, because this guy named Gerald Brittle, you know, wrote the book The Devil in Connecticut, which was about the whole experience. Mm-hmm. And he tried to sue the Warrens and him for the book.
Damn.
It was weird. So, basically, it was basically just like the movie. The whole family's there, all this exorcism shit's going on. Their lesser exorcism. And they said that David levitated and he would stop breathing and he had supernatural ability. And I don't know. And all of this is basically in relation to what Arnie does later on, because Arnie's there. And some of the eyewitnesses there said that Arnie, like in the testimonies in court, said that Arnie was coerced by the demons when David was possessed and he was participating in one of the exorcisms. So I don't know. Maybe. He fucking said, take me instead, but nobody heard him say anything. They're just saying that the demon coerced him. So I do with that what you will. I don't know what the fuck that means. I couldn't really find anything on it. I like, okay, sure, whatever, man. Coerced him. Got it. So,
oh my gosh.
They say, like, he would egg on the demon during the exorcisms, though, which would make him be attacked. And then eventually, you know, the whole fucking shit stopped with David. It was just like the movie. It, like, ends suddenly, but it probably didn't end as suddenly. They probably just were like, oh, the possession's done. But they're still saying that it could still become dangerous later on. Who knows? But this is when Arnie starts having, you know, experiences of his own. Like, he says he was attacked by the demon. The demon allegedly took control of his car and forced it into a tree. So he had like a car accident, and this is all when he moved into like some rental property that supposedly housed this demon. So I don't know.
Wait, so he didn't get it from David?
Yeah, that's what I've got confused on. I was like, so is it from David or is it from the house? Who knows? Whatever.
Awesome.
I was like, great. But he did encounter a demon, and he says that it was his final encounter with this demon when he was completely lucid, and he ended up having complete eye contact with it, and I guess, like, the Warrens, you know, warned him prior to not do that. To, like, don't look into their eyes or some shit. I don't fucking know. But ever since he did that, his, David's condition started getting worse. So, Debbie and Arnie, when David started getting worse, his condition, it wasn't even like a possession or anything. I don't even fucking know. They decided.
Physical condition or?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell. I think it's just think it was his mental health. You know, maybe he wasn't possessed and he's just declining in mental health. That's the whole thing. Because they performed these lesser exorcisms, and then the Warrens left after all these priests and shit. And then it like as I'm reading, I'm going, so I don't know. Was David cured or did he get worse from that? Right. It didn't really go into detail. That's the whole thing. Because most everything on this is so focused on Arnie and his trial. I was just finding a lot on his trial.
Okay.
But whatever happened with... yeah, whatever happened with, like, David going through, you know, what his mental depression or whatnot, Debbie and Arnie ended up moving out, basically. They're like, okay, we need to move because this is getting worse. So they were, Debbie was hired by Alan Bono, and he was a new resident in Brookfield as a dog groomer. So they rented an apartment close to where she worked, and then they moved in, and that's when Arnie started having behavior that was much like David's, which was starting to cause Debbie to get scared that he was going to become possessed next.
Right.
Like, according to Debbie, she said that he would fall into trance-like states where he would growl and hallucinate, but then later have no memory of it at all.
Oh.
So, I was like, okay, that's interesting.
That's weird.
So, yeah, I was like, go off.
Go off.
Go off. So, like, on February 16th, 1981, Arnie called in sick. He worked at a tree service, and he joined Debbie at the kennel where she was working at the time. And Bono ended up, he bought all of them like lunch at a local bar and started to drink heavily. So just like, basically just like in the movie, he's drinking very heavily because he took them all out for drinks and food.
Even though Arnie called him sick?
Yeah. I don't think he actually was sick. I think it's one of those, oh, I'm sick, just so he can go hang out with his, you know, girlfriend, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this is just how he got into the situation. So they're like, well, weren't you supposed to be at work? Well, I called in sick that day. It's like, I get that. We all do that. I get it.
Right.
It's fine. But basically, they, you know, ended up going back to the kennel of where they worked after lunch, but Debbie decided to take some of the other girls who worked there to go get pizza. But when they ended up leaving, they were like, maybe we should go back because they were starting to feel like there might be trouble. And there kind of was because fucking their landlord, Bono, was so drunk that he was just an agitated drunk. So Debbie ended up basically urging everyone to just get out of the room. Except for, you know, Bono, who's drunk as shit, because he ended up grabbing one of the girls and refusing to let go.
Ew.
So Arnie ended up heading back to the apartment. I don't know where the hell he was at this time, but he started yelling at him, you know, to release this girl. And she finally ended up getting let go, and she's running to the car, and Debbie was still trying to, you know, mitigate the situation, trying to calm Arnie down and trying to calm Bono down. Then all of a sudden, you know, Arnie basically starts growling, as what they said. He starts growling like an animal, and he draws out a 5-inch pocket knife and just stabs him repeatedly.
Oh my god.
And the thing is after he's done stabbing him, Bono died several hours later.
So they didn't call.
that's my thing. I'm like, okay.
Bled out or what?
Yeah, that's what I was like. I'm so confused. Well, according to Arnie's lawyer, he had like 4 or 5 tremendous wounds that were mostly in his chest and one stretched from his stomach to the base of his heart. So I think like probably because Arnie did, he left just like in the movie. He was discovered 2 miles from the site of where the killing was held. I don't think he actually meant to. I think they were all probably just heavily, you know, drunk and just heat of the moment, and he just went for it. And he ended up walking out, and I'm pretty sure Debbie's like, what the fuck, you know?
But she didn't still call, like, an ambulance?
No, apparently not. So, I don't know.
What the heck?
Again, unless she did. But I still, I'm like, okay, whatever.
Wow.
But he ended up being picked up, like, 2 miles from where it held, and his bail was $125,000. Mm-hmm. And they say this is the first unlawful killing in the history of Brookfield, Connecticut. Like, okay, go off Connecticut. Guess you're just special.
So crime-free.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Liars.
Uh-huh.
So, the day after the killing happened, Lorraine told the police that Arnie was possessed when the crime was committed.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So that's when the media started surrounding the story. And it basically, the media started surrounding a story because it was fueled by the Warrens.
Right.
Because their agents ended up promising lectures and a book and even a movie detailing the whole case.
Jeez.
So this was just like a cash grab from the fucking beginning.
Heck yeah.
But they went with it, and it was like the first known court case in the United States that the defense was sought to prove that he was innocent based upon the claim of demonic possession and denial of personal responsibility for a crime.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay. Basically, the Warrens just kind of said you were possessed.
Right.
And you're gonna roll with it.
That's crazy. So did they find him guilty?
They did. So basically the whole trial ended up going down because we still have, you know, Carl, the brother, Debbie's brother, who's basically saying this is all bullshit, this is a cash grab, suing and everything. But Debbie and Arnie still, you know, wholeheartedly stand by that it was demonic possession, and they've basically recounting everything.
Right.
And on fucking November 24th, 1981, he was found guilty of first degree manslaughter charges, mm-hmm. and he was sentenced to 10 to 20 years, but he got out after serving 5 for good behavior. He married Debbie while he was in prison, and today they are married still, and they have 2 children.
I feel like that's what it said in the movie, too. It was like 15 yeah. years and he only served 5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that, I mean, on the plus side, unlike most of the other movies, a lot of the movie that we watched was based on a true experience. I'm not going to say a true story because I don't know. I'm not trying to be that jerk skeptic, but like a lot of that seems so sketchy.
One, I think, like, I'm going to agree with their brother on it. I really think, like, Carl's right. Yeah. I think they had a mentally ill child. They didn't want to handle it. So they ended up calling in priests and shit. And then calling in the Warrens, who ran with it. Because the Warrens are very cash-grabby people.
Yeah, they seem to make everything worse. And yeah. Like I said earlier, he could have very well been, like, haunted. But that doesn't, like, being haunted and being possessed are two
different things.
Extremely different things.
Very different.
And so, I would buy that it was mental illness. I would buy that it was a haunting. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem like there's, like, enough evidence to say that it was possession. Same in Arnie's case. I don't really see
a lot Arnie, I think, is a case of heat of the moment, and they were both intoxicated. Right. Like, shit happens. Yeah. And that's why he didn't mean to do it, and that's why he had a trauma response of walking away, like, forgetting, mm-hmm. and walking 2 miles away, just like, what the fuck did I do? Because people do that.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, dude, like, come on now. He was drunk as shit.
And he just, I mean, he experienced the thing with David. Mm-hmm. And so that was, like, first response, kind of like, oh, was the ghost. I'm possessed. Yeah.
And the whole thing is, like, fucking, they still, like, Arnie and Debbie still stand by the fucking what the Warrens say and shit. Of course. And, like, they before. Do. Yeah, and then, like, before fucking Ed died, well, you know, I know that he's, like, dead now, but, like, he would tell Arnie, you now know the characteristics of a possession, and you know how not to let demons get to you, or some shit like that.
How? I'm
like, the fuck are you on about, sir?
Yeah,
like,
how what did they the even fuck? Get to him in the first place if they didn't originate from the experience with David?
So fucking stupid.
I don't know. Sounds pretty true to me, Squiss.
I fucking, you know, for the most part, this is the truest story, you know?
Right.
The movie actually did follow this story. They had to embellish and add their own shit because, again, the Why movie not? Was also still a whole lot of nothing.
Right.
But the story is a whole lot of nothing. Which actually is interesting, too, because they could have just followed the actual family and the son mm-hmm. a lot longer.
Right.
And then added some Arnie shit into it.
Instead of making it all about that.
Yeah. But they just decided to make it about, like, a witch and the fucking Warren's love story. And I don't fucking know. I'm like, look, it's a case of manslaughter. And I don't know. I've watched a lot of movies on serial killers. And they're a lot more entertaining than whatever the fuck this was. So there's just better things they could have done with it. Fucking.
You know what? This is the end of our Warren experience. And I cannot be happier. So
I hate them.
I mean, they're shit. Thanks for listening to us hate them. But, like, man, I'm so excited to research something else.
I'm done with possession. We're moving on. I'm over it. I don't give a shit. I'd like to do something cool next. It's not possession. Demons bore the fuck out of me. Oh, fuck.
Shit, dude. But, you know, as always, all of our information is down in the description for this episode. Our Linktree, our Patreon, all that good stuff. We are coming up on the end of the year. We are coming up to Christmas. So just like last year, we want to do a cool Christmas episode. And we want to get a little more involved with you guys. So, you know, please reach out to us on our social medias and all that good stuff. Because we are ready for a new year and some new cool stuff with the pod and to interact with you guys.
We hope you were frightened, man.